Put in. Hi guys, Step Parent World, Martin here. Great to see all you guys and listen to all you guys. I've had loads and loads of feedback from my very recent podcast that I did back in January, I think it was. Thank you for all your feedback. Really appreciate all your help and all your comments. And there's a couple of you that I'm going to contact directly because I said that I'd email you directly. I will be in touch with you very soon. Podcast today, which is bringing on Brittany Phillips, which I'm really looking forward to this podcast because Brittany chose the choice of subject herself, which we've called The Power of Choice, which I think is fantastic. And I'd not really thought about this, but I think it's a really great title because it kind of opens up quite a lot of doors. And I've been thinking probably over the last week or so what it actually means and when I was actually a stepdad, how much choice I actually had. So I'm really interested in doing this one with Brittany. What I'm going to do is allow Brittany to tell you what she does. I've got written down quite a lot of stuff. If this is right, Brittany, I've got a licensed educator, certified family coach, certified family life coach, sorry, certified family coach, which is that Jenna's course, the same one as what I did?
Yes. Yep.
It's a great course.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. What's a licensed educator?
I'm a school teacher.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, that didn't click for me. Brilliant. So is that a particular subject or is that all lots of subjects?
Many subjects. It was for elementary. That's where I'm trained and certified to teach is the younger kids. So.
Oh, okay. So where did the life coach, was you a life coach before you was a step family coach?
I actually got certified right about the same time, but there are different skills I was hoping to kind of get from each one. So I kind of combine the background and the certification together as I coach my clients.
So is yours mainly coaching for stepmoms or is it stepdads as well?
Yeah, mainly for stepmoms. I found I did work with some couples for a while, a handful of couples, and found that it worked better for me as a coach to just work one-on-one with the stepmom.
What happened to the stepdad?
I guess I never had that personal experience, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I was never a stepdad.
How did you find a coaching for couples? Did you coach many sessions with them together?
Yeah, that's what I ended up doing. And it ended up being kind of tricky to help them with through their feelings when we were all together. So, and kind of work doing the thought work that I like to do with my clients was difficult with everyone there together. So,
yeah, I found that I did one session a while ago. It was interesting, but it's quite hard to get both thoughts and trying to get them to be open in front of each other. I found quite difficult as well, but
when
you spit them up, they're quite vocal after that. So it's quite I was also reading, so I just must have done some notes. So you're a wife, an adoptive mum, biological mum, and a bonus mum.
Yes.
So you're three mums in one.
Yes, I am. Kind of got the experience from all the places. I was actually an adoptive mom first. I struggled to get pregnant in my first marriage. And so we adopted a child and then ended up getting divorced. Had full custody of her. And that's when I became a bonus mom. And then I was miraculously able to have two more biological kids after I got remarried.
Wow. That's quite a story for you then.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of an adventure to get where I'm at.
Did you have an interest in being around step families and helping step families before all this happened? Or was this after you went through your own, you know, sort of journey with yourself?
Yeah, after the journey for sure. It's kind of a long story, but definitely it was a journey to get where I'm at. I knew that I wanted to be helping people and working with people, but I knew it had to do with some of the life experience that I had. So I wasn't sure if it would be in the adoption aspect or divorce piece or maybe going through toxic relationships. But I you know, after spending a year or two maybe thinking about it, I finally ended up that it was the blended families that really lined up the best with my values, strengthening families and helping them reach their goals.
It's really interesting because when I started looking into this, I spoke to Jenna and I said, because it's obviously a stepmom course, mm-hmm. I said, would it suit me that I was a stepdad? She said, yeah, no, the course will still suit you. And I actually love the course. I absolutely loved it. I learned so much. Thank you, Jenna. I learned so much. It's absolutely fantastic. And I spoke to her 2 or 3 times and she was really, really helpful. Do you think your life experiences or what you've been through has helped you more than, not more than the course, but experience of actually being a stepmom, being a mom, has helped you with coaching other people, like the actual experiences you've been through?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think I am definitely not very judgmental of people's thoughts and feelings and just kind of where they're at, because I've been there. I had all the same thoughts, all the same feelings, most of them, right? Many of the same circumstances as most of my clients. And so it's been that life experience. I did have huge aha moments going through the step parenting course, like, oh yeah, I did learn that after 7 years of personal experience.
Yeah.
wish someone would have told me that at the beginning, those kind of moments. But the life experience for sure was, is the aspect where I'm able to relate the best.
Because I sometimes when I'm coaching, I find myself wanting to tell the parent what I went through. But you have to try and lead them onto helping themselves and what they want to, you know, what path they want to take. But you're sometimes screaming, I've done this, I've been through this, I can help you with this.
right.
Yeah, but I found probably after doing Jenna's course, I've read 2 or 3 books. I'm reading one at the moment, which is fantastic. But I still relate a lot of the issues that I find with my clients to experiences that I've had myself, literally as being a stepdad and as I'm a biological dad as well. So I try and see it from a biological parent's point of view as well. It's fascinating, isn't it, that the experience that you've gone through, how much it actually helps you on your coaching as well.
Yeah.
Why choose the, because I kind of gave you the choice of what you wanted to talk about today and you chose the power of choice. Mm-hmm. Why that particular topic?
I found, as I look back on my experience, my personal experience, that's where I got stuck the longest, is wanting, I wanted to control all these other things I truly didn't have any control over. And I got stuck in that place where if I had just focused on the things that I could control, things that would actually make a difference, I would have been much more at peace, much happier person in general in my experience. So that's kind of where I'm at, why I wanted to talk about that, because I think it would have been the biggest influence, the biggest help for me personally in the first few years.
Have you had any clients actually come to you and say they feel almost powerless within their step family, and they don't have any say in anything that goes on, and they don't have any say in, it can be like really simple things like the kids going off and doing something that's biological mum wants to do, but it's when they're with the actual stepmom. Do you come across that very much?
Oh yeah, all the time. And even on my social media, I'm on TikTok and Instagram, and I get comments from people all the time. I feel like I have no control over anything. Everything, life is happening to me all the time. That is very, very common theme that I hear.
What is this? Because I wrote this down as well, because I noticed you use the word control quite a lot. Is this what step parents need? Do they need control, or do they need to be able to influence certain situations? Is there a difference between feeling in control or possibly influencing a certain situation? Is it different?
I think it's just a mindset. So control, if we're trying to control other people or things that are kind of beyond us, well, let me step back a little bit, actually. So what I like to do, one thing I like to do with my clients is I give them a picture with 3 circles, a small one in the middle, and then a little bit bigger, medium-sized one, and then a large circle on the outside. The circle in the middle, the smallest circle, is what we have control over. as individuals. So that's our thoughts, our feelings, our reactions, right? That's all I have control over is me, basically. The middle circle is what we call kind of the circle of influence. And those are things that I can't completely control, but I have the ability to influence. So the feeling in my home, or my partnership, my marriage, I have the ability to influence, but I can't completely control it because I don't control my husband, right? My stepkids and their feelings towards me, I can't control that, but I definitely can influence it by the things that I'm doing in my life. So that influence is pretty broad. And then the outside circle is just things that I have zero control over, things like the weather or politics or those types of things. And so really our focus, if we want to be happy, is taking it back to that inner circle. What can I truly control? And in that control will help me influence in the best way possible.
Do you think it's great? I like that. Actually, those three circles. That's, I like that. Well, do you think the biological parent thinks they're on the same route, or is it a step parent that feels they don't have as much control purely because they're entering the family that's already been made?
I think any human on the planet can kind of get stuck in that area of wanting to control things that we have no control over. But the circumstances that often come as a step parent can make it feel like we have even less control. So I think anyone can experience this, but just the circumstances that we're put in make it feel a little bit more difficult as the step parent.
Yeah. Harsh for our step parents, isn't it? I think because when you enter your step family, obviously the biological parent already has the bond between the children and the biological mum or biological dad. Do we need control as step parents, or do we need? Is there a difference between feeling like you're in control and feeling like you're respected? Because a client I had quite recently, she said to me that she didn't need control, but she just wanted to be respected. Is that the same? Is that different?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think as humans, we all need to have some sense of control in some aspect of our life. And really, that is focusing on my thoughts, my feelings. That's where we can feel that most control. But if you think about even with kids, they have to have some sense of control. Like if they feel like they have no control in their life, they're going to kind of explode emotionally, right?
As they do.
Yeah. So giving back some of that control. So maybe she doesn't, maybe our clients don't think they need to like control everybody else. But I think, absolutely. As humans, we all have to be able to feel like we have choice.
How do we get the choice? Like if a client came to you and said, I just feel, I've used the word before, powerless in my step family. I just want to have a little bit of an influence, a little bit of a say. This is really, really common. I see it on a lot of support groups that they feel that they don't have a say in anything. How do they get it? How do step parents actually have their needs met on feeling not just part of the family, but actually having a say in the family as well? How do they get it?
I think that comes back to the influence piece that we have to focus on. sorry if you can hear my kids in the background.
That's fine.
And I lost my train of thought. It really comes back to a mindset shift that where my thoughts are at, that's what I will see. So if I can shift my thoughts to focusing on where I have some sense of control, on the things that I can influence, I mean, that's what I love to do with my clients. That's like where the magic happens, is we can acknowledge and see what our thoughts are. And then we as humans have the ability to actually change our thoughts. I don't think any other animals on the planet can do that. So that's something that as humans, we are very powerful. That we can literally change our results by choosing new thoughts if our current thoughts aren't serving us.
So is that step parent possibly rewiring their brain? Should they be trying to change how they think and feel? Maybe they actually have more influence on what they actually think. So is it more about the step parent trying to change the way they think and feel, or going to their partner and saying, I don't feel valued, don't feel appreciated, which then comes along with choice? Because I think probably one of the biggest things I've had probably this year is people saying that they're not involved in the small, it's not the big major things, the smaller things, the day-to-day things that matter. And we all know we have more step mums come forward than we do step dads, which mm-hmm. I'm going to do a podcast on at some point. But the step mums often say to me that they don't feel they have a say in the small things, not the big, large things. Do they have a right to it, do you think? So I've written one of my questions. Do step-parents actually have a right to a choice within the biological family?
Well, I think it comes down to your partnership, right? Mm. Where if you are working as a true partnership, that's something that needs to be communicated to your partner. And that's a piece that can be really hard. Many of us don't have strong, healthy communication skills. We kind of like go into fight or flight responses immediately. Like we put walls up, we get defensive, we might feel resentful, and don't have the tools to know how to work through a lot of those disagreements. And so that's another piece of that we work on with clients, is how to communicate better so you can be a partnership, you can be on the same team. Yeah. And I found that was a huge hurdle for our family, especially because we'd both come from difficult relationships before. We were on the defense, right, already going into our marriage.
Communication is huge, isn't it? I recently did an article on it, and again, it's another podcast coming up. Why do we struggle? Why do we struggle so much to communicate between, talking from a guy point of view, guys, I don't think communicate as much as what females do. For whatever reason, us guys just don't. I don't mind. I don't mind sharing feelings and sharing advice and telling people how I think and feel. Probably too much sometimes, to be fair. But guys don't do it. Do you think that's part of the issue within a step family, that the guys just don't talk enough, lack of communication?
I don't know if I'd pin it on just the guys, but I think that I believe we don't have enough examples of how to communicate in a healthy way. In the media and out there, like, we see a lot of drama and unhealthy forms of way of communicating that kind of just like going in circles over and over again. We get stuck in these patterns, and we're not being taught very well how to communicate in a way where we can have different opinions or we can have different perspectives and still support each other and still respect each other.
Yeah. I put another question here. Is it a step parent's right? So when I was a step parent, I didn't think I had any rights at all. You know, when you get married, you have your vows and you have certain things that you try and stick to as best you can and anything else. There's nothing really for a step parent to know what their rights are. And I know obviously the legal side of it is written in stone, really. Well, it certainly is in the UK. But between you and your partner, your family, and obviously the extended family, what rights do you think a step parent should have? Not what they actually do have, but what rights do you think they should have?
That's such a tough question, because I think it depends. It can vary so much from circumstance to circumstance. For example, my husband was a stepdad, but he was dad full time, like 100%. And so his role is going to look very different from mine, where my stepson's coming back and forth. He has a mom, right? I'm just kind of like an extra bonus person in his life. It's going to look so vastly different. And it comes down to, what do I even prefer? what do I want? How much do I want to be involved? I have some clients that don't really want to be involved very much at all. They just kind of want to be there for the husband. And I have other clients that like 100% want to be completely involved. So I think I can't like generalize what should or shouldn't, because it comes down to so many different varying circumstances and things that affect that.
You see, I think what's really crucial is before, and I'm possibly guilty of this myself, to be fair. Again, going back to talking about your own experiences, if I could go back into some of my experience, I think one of the main things I would have done was to make it very clear, even before I moved in with family, of what rights I have, what I'm allowed to do, what I'm not allowed to do, where the boundaries are. And I didn't do it. And I think this is a massive part for any step parent that's about to enter a step family. Make sure you get it really clear. Sit down with your biological parent and work out what it is you can and can't do and can and can't say and what you're involved in. And I think expectations for step parents are so high when they go in, and then it's like bursting a balloon, isn't it? It's like, oh God, really? I thought I might be able to do this, but there's going to be certain things you can't actually do. And sometimes for step-parents, it's quite hard to accept, because you almost want to, or you almost expect to be the mum or be the dad, but it doesn't work like that.
Yes. No.
So do you think, or did you kind of got all your cans and cannots before you actually moved in with your partner?
We did talk about a lot of things, but I will say that a lot of things that we tried didn't end up working like we thought they would. And so we had to be very flexible, and that had to be a lot of conversations like, hey, I thought this was going to work and it's actually not working at all. We're going to have to readjust, redefine how this is going to look. Because we went in with rose-colored glasses, thinking everything was going to be beautiful and perfect. And it was not that. So I think that's super important. Is we do have boundaries; they're so, so important. But that our boundaries can also be flexible, and that we can change our mind, we can readjust as we need.
Because it often changes with ages, doesn't it? As the kids get older, things change. Yeah. It does change quite a lot. What do you think are the effects if there is no choice? So say, you know, if you're within a step family, you literally find you have no choice whatsoever. Maybe the other biological parent is quite involved in the day-to-day running of the house, which I've heard quite a lot of, to be fair. How do you live with having no choice? Do you think it's possible to actually survive within a step family of having no choice?
No, I think that's a quick path to burnout. Mm. I really believe that. So you've got to really define where you do have choice. Like I feel like in my household, my partner and I are working together to kind of set the rules. I don't think an ex-partner should be saying what can and can't happen in my house, unless it has to do with like safety or other issues like that. Like, I don't think they should be able to say nitpicky things that are happening inside my house. That's a boundary. Right. Go ahead.
Have you come across that personally, like having an outside influence?
Oh, trying to think back, because it's been a few years. That was not a big issue for us personally, with someone that was super opinionated, but we did have like differing values from one home to another. And so to be confident in what we were doing in our home and knowing that it's different from what's happening in another home, that's okay. And to say we don't have to do it the same. Sometimes even just as cultural expectations, sometimes we see people co-parenting and they're like, we have to do it all like best friends. And I don't believe that, that we can be respectful of the co-parent, but we don't have to do things the same.
Do you think that's what takes away a lot of the choice from the step parent, though, if there is an outside influence? So if you're having, I don't know, just say a stepdad's feeling pushed out because the real dad's very much on the scene with his partner, the mum. Mm-hmm. Does that then cause friction between the stepdad and his partner? And should the partner, the biological mum, put, like you said, a boundary in between the actual real dad in the house? And how do you do it?
Yeah, I think that's definitely what needs to happen. That's often why we feel like we're being walked all over. It's because there's not a boundary in place. That's actually our body's signal to us, like a boundary needs to be set here. Yeah. And if someone's going to be on your team, I would hope it would be your partner to help set those boundaries in place, especially if it's with their ex-partner, right? Hopefully they're mm-hmm. speaking up and saying, hey, that's not appropriate. This is what we're going to do in our home. And if your partner's not ready to do that, then you can set your own boundaries. You can do it yourself, but hopefully you have a partner who's on your team.
Yeah. I think this goes back to, I reckon that's the boundaries that should be set even before you move in. So when you actually move in, it's already there rather than trying to build actually in the house. What kind of thing do
I will
you think,
say, oh,
go on, no, go on.
I was going to say, I will say that sometimes you don't know a boundary needs to be there until you're in the middle of it. So sometimes you're going in, you're like, oh, this is going to be great to do it this way. And then all of a sudden you get caught off guard with your feelings. Like you feel uncomfortable. You feel awkward about something that you didn't think you would. For instance, I have clients that don't like when the ex-partner comes into their home. Maybe they thought they would be okay with that at first, but then, you know, after doing it a few times, they realize it made them really uncomfortable. So you could take a step back and kind of set that boundary after the fact, and that's okay.
That's actually a really good example, a very good example, actually. I like that, because if that was already happening before you met your partner, so say just for argument's sake, say it's a biological dad used to come in the home, play with the kids, or come and sit and have a cup of tea or whatever, and then the stepdad moves in. Does the stepdad have the right, the choice, the influence, whatever you want to call it, to turn around to his partner and say, I don't really feel comfortable him being in the house with the kids? Can he not do it outside? Can he not go somewhere? Is that okay? Or do you think that's breaking up something that was already in place before they met?
Oh, I think it's absolutely okay to make that request. For sure. Like, we've got to be able to take care of our own needs. If I'm not feeling comfortable with something, I hope I can voice that to my partner and that they'll respect me enough to support me.
Yeah. It's a tricky one though, isn't it? Because you're kind of breaking up something that was already there. It's already in place.
Yeah, I think we need to check ourselves to make sure our requests are reasonable. Is that reasonable? If that's making me feel uncomfortable for any reason? If it's not making me comfortable and my partner feels weird backing me up on that, maybe I could leave the house when that exchange is going on if it makes me feel awkward or whatever that is. So there are other options. I don't have to. I mean, I could still control what I do with myself if I'm not able to set that boundary in the way I want to.
So did you have choices when you met your partner? Did you move in like to their home, or did you move in together, or did you feel you had influence enough to be at a level that you were comfortable with?
That's a great question. So I moved in to my partner's home. And he had lived there with his previous wife. And so it kind of felt like we were trying to insert ourselves into this situation. And I felt like I had no control. And it was very uncomfortable. What ended up happening is that we moved to a new home. And that's where we were able to finally kind of start feeling at peace. So that was almost, it was like a boundary. Like, I thought this was going to work. It's not working for me anymore. We've got to start somewhere fresh.
That's absolutely fascinating. Why does a new home change how you feel? Is it just because of, I don't know, memories that were there before, or things that were like brought with the ex-partner together, or that maybe she chose the color on the walls or something like that?
Well, it actually had a lot to do with the reaction of everybody in the home. So we move in and we have all these things that we're trying to fit in the space, and it's just not fitting, or I'm coming in trying to change everything. So it feels like it's also my home, and that wasn't flying very well for me to just come and like revamp the whole house.
Why not?
And so I felt really out of place. I was like, I'm not wanted here. This isn't my home. It doesn't feel comfortable to me. And it totally caught me off guard. I'll be really honest. I thought it was going to be fine. And when it wasn't, so we finally decided, you know, I think a move will be good for us where we can all start fresh. It's a birth of a new family, a new unit. It's not, this is our home and here you are trying to take over our home now. It's like, this is ours together, something new and beautiful that we're creating. It changed for every person in the home, the kids and the parents.
It's really interesting when you, I don't know if you, when I did my first coaching course before Jenna's, I did a standard coaching course, and I learned probably there's two big parts about it, limiting beliefs, which I loved, and language. I loved what I learned about language. And I listened a lot to your language since you've been speaking. And when it's interesting for me when you said, I felt out of place. I reckon that's probably one of the most common feelings for step parents, and I don't reckon many step parents haven't gone through it at some point. I don't think it's all the time, but I think it's a common thing. So do you think you would have kept feeling out of place if you stayed in that same house? Literally the shift of the house was enough to put you in a better place. Literally.
It was the home, the community, for me it was, which is so interesting to me, like looking back, but it was that. It was not, this is our house, this is my thing, these are my things, and now here you are too. It was, this is our thing,
language
together. It's new for all of us.
Yeah I love listening to people talk. I used to be a people watcher years ago. I used to love watching people. Now I listen, and I love listening to what people say. And you can pick up so much on just listening to what people say. So how did it change? What you obviously put your own stamp on the house, so you felt more comfortable in your own place. How did that change between you and your partner? Did it strengthen your relationship? Obviously made you feel more secure.
Yeah. Looking back, like both my husband and I would both say that was the best thing we ever did for our blended family. Yeah. Because I'm not sure how to explain. Like in the other house, he was kind of in this community already, kind of had his own friends. Like we go to church and he already knew all the people in the church. And so there wasn't a lot of effort for people to like reach out and like get to know me at all, because half of our family was already established there. So I felt so lonely, awkward, like just almost invisible. I felt invisible. Like, hey, I'm new here. Like I want to meet friends. I'm an extrovert. I love people and getting to know people. So kind of going through that change to not just the home itself, but in the community. We go to a new community. We're new there, a new church. And we're all new together. Yeah. We're experiencing that together. We're like, okay, what changes should we make to the house? Like, where are we going to put the spoons in the kitchen? Where are we going to, what are we going to do with this? Which things should we keep? Right. And it was just that transition where before I had my spoons and I was like, there's nowhere for me to put my spoons. So are we going to keep mine or get rid of yours, or vice versa? What are we going to do?
Did you speak to your friends about this that weren't step parents? Like when you say things just now, when you said about having your own spoons, I get it. I'm with you on that. But have you spoken to people that haven't been a step parent before and they look at you and go, what are you on about? I don't really get it.
Yeah. They can't comprehend. Hmm. They're like, why is that a big deal? why would that matter?
Yeah. Even things like planting things in the garden, you plant your own things, your own flowers, your own tree, whatever you do. It's having your own stamp, isn't it?
Yeah.
I listened very much to what you were saying, very much your language, and a lot of the language you're using, like things like awkward, bit out of place. But one of the things I found sometimes, not all the time, sometimes it can be quite lonely being a step parent. You feel quite a bit isolated at times, especially when times are quite tough. Have you experienced that yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially before we made the move. Felt very isolated. I didn't even know anybody else in the step family at the time. And so I felt like I was just sticking out like a sore thumb from everybody else. Since then, I've met many people in blended families and realized that I'm definitely not alone, but I felt very, very alone. Mm. Even my family and friends, I've tried to have a conversation like this with them. It just kind of like glaze over. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they stand and they nod like this, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they just walk off and change. I think I had a step-parent group that I spoke to a few months ago, and they're all step-parents. And there was one biological parent in there. And at the end of it, I said to them all, I said, look, you know, who found it constructive? Who found it helpful? You know, you can take anything from it. The biological lady was the first to speak. And she said, and she'd been quite quiet, but she stumped up and she said, I didn't realize you guys went through what you're going through. I didn't realize you guys experienced and felt the way you actually feel. And I said to her, have you actually ever stopped and said to your husband, how do you feel? And she paused for about a good 5-10 seconds, which seemed like a lifetime. She said, do you know what? I haven't. I've asked him like generally, how are you today? Blah, blah, blah. I've never stopped and actually asked him, how do you feel within the family? How do you feel as stepdad? And she said, I'm going to go home, or I'm going to come off here and I'm going to actually ask him. I'm going to sit him down and say, how are you? How are you within your family? There's a very big difference between asking someone how they are and how are you actually within your family. Communication again, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I love that too. I think that's so important. I hear from a lot of stepmoms, like, my husband doesn't understand why I'm overwhelmed. He thinks that it's just me. I'm the problem. And I'm like,
But I think this is why, like with step-parent world, I'm trying as much as I can to get biological parents involved as well. Although obviously I know it's called step-parent world. I'm trying to speak to more biological parents because they're 50% of the family and a big 50% as well. How much do you think biological, we always talk about step families. How much do you think biological parents could get involved and help step parents more by giving them not saying more choices, but feeling like they do have a choice?
Oh, make or break your family. Honestly, I believe if a step parent can feel heard or valued or appreciated, that makes all the difference.
I love that word, appreciated. It's such a good word, and it's such a good word to use. I've really enjoyed talking to you today. It's fascinating. I kind of had so many different ways I wanted to kind of speak about the power of choice. I had so much stuff written on my board, but I've not even asked half of it because it just kind of come out. What's been, apart from you moving house, what's the biggest choice you've been able to make to change things or advice you'd give to other step parents that are listening to this?
This other piece of advice is actually the biggest piece that I work with my clients on, because I know not everyone has the ability to move to a new home or even the desire or whatever. But the biggest thing that shifted everything in my life was realizing where I have control. So that it starts with me. If I want things to change in my blended family, I've got to quit blaming people. I've got to quit pointing the fingers and really focus inward. When I am strong myself, then I can influence others for the better. But if I am just feeling in a pity party or kind of wallowing in self-pity, I am not helping anyone. I am making things worse, making things harder. So I've got to get out of my people-pleasing mode and become strong as an individual.
And how do we go to our partners and actually tell them that we don't feel we've got a say in things? And I don't know if it's quite influence, but to be able to have a say in things, how do we ask our partner to help us with that?
I think you go at it from a place of vulnerability, like just being really raw and your truest feelings, like in a place of love. Hey, I really want to be part of this. I love you. I love this family. I want it to thrive, but I'm struggling here. Can you help me by this, 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 or whatever? You know, maybe we should make one request at a time. That'd probably be better than than three.
Yeah, over the week.
But making a request, like a loving request.
Thank you so much for coming on today. I've learned a lot, and I've really, really enjoyed talking to you. Do you just want to say a little bit about what you do, your website, about what you offer to step families?
Of course. Yeah. I offer one-on-one coaching right now, and I'm actually going to be releasing an online course in August or September. So I'm really excited about that. Getting ready to launch. My website is blendingbravely.com. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at it's me, Brittany P. That's kind of where I'm at. Really excited about this online course that I've got. It's kind of like a self-paced with workbooks included. I've put hours and hours into it, but I believe the thing that can help stepmoms specifically kind of transform their life. We focus on working on ourselves first and then strengthening our partnership. And when those two things are strong, then we can focus on how to strengthen our connections with each other and the kids. So
what's the end goal of your course? What are people going to get out of it? What are they going to achieve from it?
Oh, the stepmoms or even biological moms who are in a blended family.
Good call. Well done.
Either way, is to help them really transform their life. It's going to be every aspect of their life as they go through this stage, but to strengthen their confidence in their role, to their communication, like we talked about, they'll see huge improvements there, and then to strengthen their connection with their stepkids, their partner, and actually a little bit about with their God too. I am a person of faith, and I definitely throw that into my course as well.
Well done, because I know how hard they are just to try and get them. It's like having an idea, but trying to piece it all together. So well done for doing it. I'll definitely keep a lookout for it.
Yeah, that's my background is in teaching. And so that was naturally was where my brain took me. So
so did that help you being a teacher, putting your course together?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was just the time that was the the most difficult part. Yeah. But as far as like getting my ideas down, creating the workbook, that part was kind of second nature to me.
And when are you launching this, and how can people get hold of it or enroll to it? Right, brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on today. It's been absolutely fascinating to talk to you. I'd like to get you back on again. Perhaps we'll get you back on after your course has been launched and we'll see how it's going, but it'd be great to have you back on again. Yeah, it'd be absolutely wonderful. Yeah, thank you so much. Right, guys, so I hope you take something from that, because I think that's probably one of the most informative ones I've had. Loads of good tips for there, and I love talking to Brittany about, I think, also your own personal experiences of what you take as a step parent, because obviously myself and Brittany have both been step parents, and we're quite veterans. And so we can share kind of the issues that we had and the problems we have, and try, if you can, if you've not entered your step family yet, I think one of the biggest things to take from this podcast is to actually get get something in line first, get your boundaries set first. I know, like Brittany said, you can't get everything in place before you move in, but I'll definitely get the basics put in there. So when you walk in, you know where you are and you know where you stand. And then if you have to tweak them or put new ones in or change them, that's completely fine, because the family and children will change with ages. So definitely have a look at Brittany's website. Keep an eye out for her course. And I've got another two guests coming on, which I'm going to announce over the next couple of weeks. I'm trying to channel a bit more to stepdads. Our stepdads don't get looked after enough. You stepmoms get all of it. It's about time some of us stepdads. So I've got a couple of guys coming on as well, which is going to talk about stepdads, which I'm really looking forward to. So keep looking. Go on my website, www.stepparentworld.com. I've got some new articles on there, and you can subscribe to it to get all the articles and the podcasts as they come live. And this one hopefully will be live today if I get time to do it, hopefully today. Thanks again, Brittany. I will definitely be in touch with you to get you back on again. Good luck with the course.